Okay, we'll call to order Board of Works for July the 10th. Need approval of minutes from June 26th.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes with one correction under the Second Street curb cut. I think the second was made by the mayor.
Yes.
I'll let you second that, Mayor, since I wasn't at that meeting.
I will second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, move on to department head reports. Parks Department.
Steve Beeman, Superintendent Parks. Last week or 2 weeks ago, we had our picnic for the parks, our first fundraiser. With the weather, we had to have it at the pavilion, but it was a wonderful evening. We grossed about $10,000, and I think after bills made about $75,000. That money will go towards the Leicester Square project, I believe. Great. Which puts us around 42, 43, I think. We ordered the equipment. It's going to be about 8 weeks total by the time we get it in. I've talked to Matt Henderson about the concrete and things like that. So hopefully by the end of August, 1st of September, we'll be able to have that in and have a ribbon cutting and get that going. The pool is going very well. It will close July 31st, being open every day, and then we'll be open weekends. What we'll do is, as we've done the last couple years, our lifeguards are all high school kids and college kids. We've not really been too affected in the last couple years on the weekends, but it's hard to get kids to sign up, especially once they know if they sign up they can work if they we're not telling them. So we try to get them to come in, but I don't see any problems. July or August 26th, the Vincent swim team will be having their first swim meet at the new pool. The pool will be closed that Saturday, but we'll be open that Sunday, the 27th. And then we have some dates of some different things. The kids' night out, which I'm sure Chief Lukin will talk about, is July 25th on a Tuesday. It'll be out at Rainbow Beach. The kids' try is July 22nd, the YMCA kids' try. And the key to back to school will be the 29th of July. We have our art in the park tomorrow at Leicester Square from 11 to 12. July 27th, it's a Thursday evening, we have contracted Hunger Skate Parks out of Bloomington to come in and do a public meeting and to start the process of getting information on what we can do to the Leicester Square Skate Park. When we talked a couple months ago, the group out of California that was just happened to be here, this is the same type of thing that they're going to do, but we wanted to use somebody a little bit local out of Bloomington. So we're going to get the word out to all the skaters, families, anybody that has any vested interest in that project to come out that night and just talk about what designs they would like to have and what they'd like to see at this park. Four Lakes, talked to Donovan today. We're going to be getting the shelter house underway here in another month. The mayor and I are talking to the water department about the spray park, and that is something that we hope to have lined up for the fall construction. And then Greg Park, I've talked to Donovan also, and Michelle Carrico from the SIDC. We're going to start working on pretty hard the next 8 to 12 months of getting the shelter house, the band shell, the lights, the wiring, and everything out of Greg Park and get a cost of what that will do. And we're going to apply for the grant out of DNR also. That's all.
Okay, lots of work. Good job.
Police Department, Chief Luke.
Dusty Luking, Vincent's Police Department. Would just like to remind you guys, again, National Night Out, Tuesday, July 25th from 6 to 8. It's a free event that we've had the last several years. Usually bring several hundred people out. We have free hot dogs and lots of giveaways for the community. Just kind of come together and meet their neighbors. It's also a good opportunity for them to meet officers, especially some of the new guys that they may not have had an opportunity to meet yet. We are about halfway through on our cars with those the equipment installs. It's moving a little slower than what we would have liked. They had some hiccups on the installs with internal things. They had some employee injuries and some things that slowed them down. And as well, we have Robert Kincaid, who was recently sworn in. He starts the academy at the end of the week, so we're glad to send him down there. He'll be gone for about 15 weeks and come back to us and start his local field training. So that's where we're at. Thanks.
Thank you, Dustin.
Street and Sanitation, Bryce.
Good I wanted to thank the Youth Council for the idea of passing out the trash bags for the 4th of July parade. And thanks to the mayor and the Sun Commercial article by Jenny McNeese, we picked up quite a few bags along Hart and 7th Street. Main Street was as clean as the 4th as I've ever seen. And along Main, there wasn't many bags at all, but there wasn't hardly any trash at all. So certainly there was a concerted effort to ensure that the area was clean. So on behalf of the street department, we thank you all. So,
great.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bryce. City engineer.
Okay. Yeah, vast majority of my time has been spent on CCMG application. I think we have 9 applications that are just about ready to go. Be securing our funding commitment tonight at the council meeting, going over those details, and get the application submitted probably tomorrow. So after that, we'll send out the list and paper warmed up.
We have no business. We'll move to new business. First is a sign placement request from Westminster Presbyterian Church.
Kelly Marley with Westminster Presbyterian Church. I'm assuming you have our proposal before you. We're requesting to place informational and directional signs at the corner of Upper 11th and St. Clair Street, one facing southeast and one facing northwest, with the name of our church and an arrow pointing, saying 2 blocks. Sorry. And it's typical of a lot of the other church signs around the city. If you have any questions, I think I'd be glad to answer.
No, I don't think so. You purchased the signs and stuff, correct?
We have not purchased them yet.
But you're planning purchasing on the signs, so it's not something we have
approval.
To. Okay.
Bryce's crew.
Okay.
And I do have a question about the installation of the sign, whether we'll have permission to do that or whether there's some other entity is.
I think it would be the street department.
Yeah, I think the street department would do it. Bryce, the street, if we approve this church with those directional signs, you would install them. But I mean, they could give you input, I guess. I mean, you're concerned about height.
I have no problem installing
okay.
them at all.
You
right.
know, I think we'll install them. That's kind of our responsibility.
Okay. Just
yeah.
It's on an existing post.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We can still that up to you. We can do it.
Okay, can I just coordinate with you then?
Sure.
Okay, fine.
Okay. So I make a motion that we approve the installation of the 2 signs as described for the Westminster Presbyterian Church on Upper 11th.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Great.
Thank you.
Next, Watermelon Festival Carnival. Kimball Coyne, Mark McNeese.
Good afternoon, guys. This incarnation of the Watermelon Festival is the 25th year now of the redone. It started in 92, and now this is the 25th year of it.
Wow.
So we are asking for our normal set of closures that day, actually the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It's a 2-day thing, August 4th and 5th. I have a whole list of things. One, the Gimbel Bond Corner we used last year for a carnival, and part of Old National Bank lot we used as that carnival too. We're requesting that again, but we would like to have it a little, maybe August 1st, so they could start pulling stuff in. Is that possible? If it's possible, that'd be great.
I don't know why it wouldn't be.
Effective the 1st, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and then okay. We also get a dumpster, and we ask to waive the fee for the dumpster that we have. It's donated. And then to block off, and I think Bryce has been doing this a number of years to know what we're doing, we block off Market Street and Patrick Henry, and then the day of, we do put some in the angle parking on Main Street, some booths there. And then because of Patrick Henry being closed, we ask that we close First Street at Bussern to keep traffic from coming into that direction. Mm-hmm. And then also the request for the stage for the Watermelon Festival, and we'll either set that up on a Thursday or Friday based off of our labor force. We asked the Knox County inmates to help us with that, and it's based off of when they can do it. and then we tear it down that Monday and put it back. So those are, it's a whole list of, of stuff.
All we got was the gimbal corner, but we don't want
to. Yeah.
Somehow we'll work this out. So I'll make a motion that we approve the use of the gimbal corner for Friday and Saturday, August 4th and 5th, with availability of the said lot effective the 1st. Also approve the use of the city dumpster at the end of Main Street as in other events. Approve the described closing of the streets on Market Street, Patrick Henry, Angle Parking on Main, and the closure of First Street leading into that area during the festival, and the use of the city stage.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Thanks, that's a long motion.
Next, acceptance of property deed. City Engineer Johnson Craig.
I was contacted maybe 2 months ago by the courthouse. They had a piece of property that was going to tax sale, and it's a sliver of property on Executive Boulevard that was a remnant piece that slipped through the cracks somehow with the Alton development out there with Huck's and Subway and that whole area mm-hmm. there by Lowe's. So we worked it out with Alton's, and he's turning that over to the city. So this is the deed that's been signed by the Alton family, turning that over. The parcel is actually in the street, so we're very glad that we got this worked out the way we did. So he's donating it, and I need Board of Works for approval so that I can go get it recorded.
Okay. So we'll make a motion to approve the acquisition of the Alton property as described by the city engineer.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Next is appeal to dangerous animal determination, Courtney Ivers.
You might want to pull that microphone down a little better so we can hear you.
Sorry.
If you might start over and tell them who you are and.
Sure. My name is Anastasia Widener. I'm an attorney. I work for Chris Ramsey. I've been retained by Courtney in regards to this matter. I wasn't sure how you wanted us to proceed with this, if you wanted, because I would have some questions for animal control, and then I was going to have Courtney testify. I didn't know how you wanted to go.
Well, it's not a hearing. You're appealing.
It is a hearing.
It is a hearing. Okay. I apologize.
Okay. I was going to say, I wasn't sure. This is,
sorry.
Yeah. No, you're
fine.
Stand
corrected.
Okay.
Okay.
I guess, really.
Let me preface this. Waive notice to this is an appeal of the determination by the Vincennes Animal Control Officer that your animal is dangerous animal. Disagree?
Yes.
Now you're taking your appeal to the Board of Works to determine whether or not they side with animal control shelter.
Okay.
That's a yes or no question. Dangerous or not, they uphold that.
So I guess I would like to call Courtney then testify.
All right, you raise your right hand. Tell me, swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, not the truth.
So just to state for the record who you are and your address.
I'm Courtney Alves, and I live on 225 Benton Street.
And you are the current owner of Malcolm.
Yes. No.
Has he ever shown aggressive behavior?
No.
Let's talk about that night that Malcolm did Mr. Russell. Approximately what time was it?
Probably like 11 at night.
Okay,
so 11:30 or something.
It was dark.
Mm-hmm.
And you were sitting on your stairwell.
My sidewalk.
Yes, okay.
I was opening presents.
And you had Malcolm on a leash then?
Mm-hmm.
Dog, people know you have him. He was clearly outside of you. When Mr. Russell came, where did he come from in relation to where you and Malcolm were sitting?
He ran straight towards my dog on the leash.
So he ran from behind you? So Malcolm didn't see him prior to John being right on top?
Yes.
So you don't believe that provoked Malcolm's behavior?
Yes, Malcolm's never met him before.
Okay, so he had no idea who this guy was. He just saw him coming up quickly.
Yeah, John was trying to get him to play.
Okay.
And where he came from, was it a well-lit area of the property?
Yeah, I have a street light right on my corner.
Okay, so he was able to, so John was able to see Malcolm, and Malcolm didn't necessarily see John.
Yeah, yeah. I know this.
And you have done some research into things that you'd like to do.
Yeah.
So you agree he needs to be neutered, and you actually found a training facility that will take him to Petersburg. And you understand that you're going to be responsible for all these costs, and if anything ever works. Since he's been a puppy, correct?
Yeah, when he was 1 month old.
Okay, and
he's three and a half. He just had a birthday in March. Mm-hmm.
How often?
I try to go every day that they're open.
No,
he's a happy boy.
Okay.
Yeah. No. Yes. Yeah. He doesn't want my dog to be put down, and he thinks it's his fault, and he's upset that we have to go through this and stuff. Because I don't know, he said it was just, he didn't meet a dog the normal way.
Yeah. An affidavit from?
From the victim, yes.
Uh-huh.
He couldn't be here today, so I'd like to present that.
Okay. That's okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. You've seen the victim. Was it? He didn't need an amputation. He got some stitches. You know, he's not walking funny or anything like it. It's his. It's nothing life threatening.
No. Yes, he's full of life.
One time.
Yes, and if John would have met him, it would have been okay.
Is there anything else you want the board to know why they shouldn't have him put down?
Because I asked a guy, and he is willing to take Malcolm for 3 weeks and work with him, and I feel like I'm really asking you for a second chance that I can have for him, because the only other option I have is to get him training, so I feel like that would be a good thing, and it's just me and him, and he's my son, so.
And I would just like to argue that I don't believe his behavior is in. I believe that according to the city ordinance on those animals, I don't believe he falls within the criteria to be euthanized. I believe that he was provoked when John came up to him. He ran up behind him, never met him, didn't see him. I mean, he did as any dog would do. They became protective of their owner. His bite did not, well, he was bitten, but it wasn't a potential danger to his life. Got some stitches on his leg, and that was it. He was restrained at the time of the bite. He was on a leash, and he wasn't bred or trained for the sole purpose of dog fighting. I mean, going down the road, I don't think he falls within any of these criteria to be dangerous.
And he showed great behavior. His 10-day assessment and everything.
He did break the leash.
Yeah,
chewed through the leash.
Chewed through the leash or he broke it?
He was, it was not, like, I need to get chain leashes and,
Well, that's not my question. My question was, after he was provoked, if he was
John
provoked.
John ran right up on him and tried to touch him and get him to play and.
So there was a period of time where the dog chewed through the leash?
Courtney. No, he did not chew.
Okay, he just broke the leash.
Yeah.
Courtney, I've got a question for you. Do you know that this was all videotaped, your conversations with the police department and that? And you know what you did tell them. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, kind of. Cause
did you admit that the dog bit the individual in the beginning? That's my question. Did you admit that your dog bit the individual in the beginning?
Actually, no, because I was really scared.
Right.
We'll admit, Courtney's
behavior
initial investigation was not the
best. Did you admit to, when animal control came there and asked you, can we take the dog? You said, I would not suggest you take the dog because I can't guarantee that it would not attack you.
No,
you did not say that?
I did not put that in those words that I recall because I, at that point, I was like shaken up and I wasn't even sure about anything at that point. And yeah, we already talked to a trainer and he said we take it and
I understand that, but the concern that we've got with the Board of Works is maybe it's a one-time incident, but maybe it's not. And the concern that we've got, if you cannot control your animal, we can't be responsible for what happens to the animal.
Right.
And I listened to what you just said there, and I listened to the information that we had that was provided to us from letters that were sent in from people that said that he's the nicest animal in the world, and he may be around them. I listened to the conversations that was had on videotape, and with those videotapes, what was said in those videotapes by you, by Kim, by some others was totally different than what we're hearing right here today. And that's a concern I have. I was on the videotape, it said, you said, that 20 minutes he was standing on the sidewalk with you and Kim on the porch.
Yeah, and then he ran up on him and tried to get
he
him.
He didn't say anything about him running up
on
him.
Well, I wasn't telling them all the stories.
Kim said that he broke the leash and chased after him and you guys ran after him. He was attacked in the street. That's what I've got a problem with. We cannot have that happen with someone else. Training is all great, but if something happens, it was a little kid or that, a mailman comes up on the porch, we cannot have that happen.
We understand that. There are, I've talked to the center about this, there are precautions that could be done. Training is just the start of it. Obviously, anything within 10 yards, do something else.
But I guess, you know, part of what Mr. Blinn is asking and, you know, in this description of what happened, this gentleman was talking to you in proximity of this dog for 20 minutes before this incident happened.
I mean, I don't know really how.
No, well, okay, make it 10 minutes. I mean, it wasn't, this incident didn't start with him running up behind you and the dog and then rustling the dog. He was in your presence and the dog's presence for 20 minutes before this happened.
Well, he just arrived there. You can ask my mom.
Okay.
He just arrived there.
Well, I'm just saying the incident didn't start with this guy came out of nowhere and
run toward
him. Through.
He didn't come out of nowhere. He just ran up on him trying to get him.
Yeah, I understand he might have startled the dog or whatever, but okay,
right.
But that's not
right.
When the dog broke the leash.
He was up on him. Yeah.
Okay. But the dog didn't bite him when he was standing or right with you and the dog. He broke the leash and then chased after this guy.
No.
So where did the bite happen then?
In my yard, like right next to my porch. Because the dog was chained up on my railing on my porch.
Mm-hmm.
The videotape shows what you told the officers that you and Kim ran after him and it got him in the street.
No,
so that's totally different than what you're telling
us.
We
did run after him, but it didn't happen in the street.
So he did run after him. The dog chased him.
No, he didn't chase him. We ran after the dog.
We meaning who? You and your mom ran after the dog.
Because we were sitting on the sidewalk, okay. And John ran up behind
us. So from here to the wall, or from here to here, or how far did you chase the dog?
Not far at all. It okay. Literally wasn't long at all.
Okay. But the dog did chase after this man, and
he
then
didn't chase after the man. I chased after. I went to go grab the dog, run towards the dog, and grab the dog. He didn't chase after John. Okay. I ran up to him.
That's totally not what you said.
The dog went some distance and then bit this man in the upper thigh.
And
you saw a picture. You saw a picture. Of,
he ran up on him like this.
Inside thigh, right.
Got him right here.
And get through his pants.
I understand that the individual does not want to press charges. Yeah. That's not the issue with me on this, because I saw the videotape of the individual that was in the hospital, and he's saying, I do not want to press charges.
Right.
He gave a different story of what the animal looked like. He, on the videotape, is saying that he's talking to you on the phone, and you're telling him, please don't let them put my dog down. Well, and we're hearing from other people that there are other incidents that this dog has bit before. That's a concern we've got.
I understand that it's a concern. I have a dog, too.
So do I.
So do I. I have three dogs.
My dog bit somebody this year, so I totally understand the whole seriousness of it. But at the same time, I would like to see reports of those other incidents. People just coming out of the woods and say, oh, yeah, I've had an issue with this dog. To me, as an attorney, that's
I discount all of that, but what I don't discount is the police report and the videotape from the individuals that were involved, because at the time when they said the things that happened, that's typically what happened, and it's on videotape, and it's, memories fade a little bit, and a lot of people, I've heard people say that he was trespassing. Well, if an individual's on the sidewalk, they're not trespassing. I've been told that he ran up on the individual. That's not what you say on the videotape.
It was all a big mess. On the
I understand
videotape.
That.
All of that.
But
all
we
of
can't
that,
have
that
a big mess
was
again.
A mess.
Right, and I'm sure it happened quickly, too.
Yeah, it was not what it is right
understand
now.
That. Right.
In her statements to the police, and have a the best thing, she did mislead the police a little bit because she
yes.
scared for her dog. And I get that part of it too, but at the same time, I understand.
The same day at the pet port, I know I saw the videotape when you were there and you were upset that it's been 3 hours and I can't see my dog, and they were telling you that this man's in the hospital with a gash in his leg, taking meat out of his leg, and you're worried more about the dog than what you are about that individual, and I've got a real problem with that.
I wasn't more worried. I was just worried for my dog's life. Like,
I wish you would see that videotape. That's a concern. But I've got a real concern with the dog.
We also have the officer said that your neighbor made a comment that this is not the first time this dog's bitten.
Well, I
maybe
have him 24/7.
It may even be the fourth
he's
or fifth
me.
Time this dog
he's
has
with
bitten.
Me everywhere. I mean, he's just.
And you repeatedly in this video say, I had to put a muzzle on him, I had to put a muzzle on him. If he needed a muzzle, why didn't he have a muzzle on him when he was on your porch?
It's not that he needs a muzzle. I just got him a
then
muzzle.
Why
like
did you keep saying, for safety, this, I have to get you the muzzle, I have to get the muzzle.
Because I was nervous about everything. That made me, all that whole situation, that was like so scary to me.
And we're scared that the dog would do it again.
Yeah, because if it does somebody, get somebody else.
Really, honestly, I take really good care of him, and I take all precautions to do with anything to do with anything.
We don't discount that you love your dog,
right.
And that's not the issue here. Right. It's the safety issue that's the big concern,
right.
Courtney. It's not that you care for your dog. I don't have,
and it's the safety of the public
hazard.
In general. That if we let the
you can
dog
ask
go
the
back.
Pet port. They were so, he was so good. Everybody handles him down to community service. People have been around him. But the community service people have been around him while they've been walking together with another worker. Well, I mean, it's the same.
Okay, so go ahead.
Because that's just how I do things, and everybody else has a beware of dog sign as well. Even if they're small dogs, big dogs, dogs that don't bite. It's just for your property. And I have a no trespassing sign too because of reasons.
We're just asking that. No, let me give you a second chance. We understand.
I literally will do anything.
And Courtney understands that if she's given a second chance, I'm not going to, like, this is it. If anything, if there's a nip, if there's a growl, she understands he's going to have to go down. But, you know, for 3 years, this is only in session.
And we just hope that the next incident is just a nip or a growl? Is that what we're supposed to?
Yeah. Or a 5-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Loves them.
Yeah.
He lets them ride him like a horse.
And my question, you said you've got a trainer. Is this a licensed trainer?
He has credentials.
Huh? It's a guy in Petersburg.
Is he licensed to do
he
this?
He is. I actually,
Petersburg.
My dog student, that's how I know him. It's a 3-week course. He helped him drop off there. Mm-hmm.
You have a what? Oh, okay. That's fine.
I just asked of you to give me a second chance because it's just me and him, so. And I love him so much, and he's the smartest.
This is a hearing, so we have to identify anybody else that's going to
speak. He has a lawyer.
Speak.
The lawyer wants to talk to you.
Sure.
Do you want to come up and say something?
Who are you calling?
Jackie Worland.
Okay. Jackie, you have to come up because we...
It has
to be on the record since it's hearing. I'm sorry. I know it's not convenient. We have to be up to the microphone, Jackie. Sorry.
Chair.
Yeah, we... Sure. Thank you, Chief.
Jackie, raise your hand. I'm going to serve from testimony about the business.
What about the dog being rehabbed? What?
Say your name. Name and address.
Jacqueline R. Worland.
You have to say your address.
And your address.
Jacqueline R. Worland. 1227 Audubon Road.
Thanks.
What about the gentleman who said he would rehab the dog because some of those aggressions can be taken out of the dog, if the dog even has those aggressions?
I think it's clearly been demonstrated the dog has aggression.
Pardon?
It's been clearly demonstrated the dog has aggressive behavior.
Well, he said he would pick the dog up at the pet port with a contract that they would sign, and he would give the information. He would give them information on the dog, on its progress. And if not, it's called Canifer's Canines, and it's in Petersburg.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Tim Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And I got his name from Southgate, or not Southgate, but Sue Hermes.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't, I know Indiana has rescinded the one bite law on dogs. And I know they've left it up to the counties.
Mm-hmm. And this gentleman would assume our liability for future bites of this dog?
He didn't say that.
I mean, that's what you're asking us. You're asking us that if this dog were to get this training, that if the dog bit somebody in the future, whose responsibility is that on?
Well, what he's going to tell you or them, who you want him to report to, is if the dog still is aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Or has aggression toward men, I guess, or
children,
or anyone.
Right.
You know, I saw the dog at the pet port.
Uh-huh.
I didn't see any aggression in the dog.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know the dog. But I think if the dog can be rehabbed, that's what should be done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And it will not happen again. I mean, this was a crazy, stupid incident, and I'm smart. I'm better than letting stuff happen like that.
And we've had reports that this isn't the first bite.
If we don't have those reports, I don't.
We're just telling you what we've received. And we have received.
But, this has been blown up on Facebook, and people have been.
Why would somebody manufacture that? I mean, that information. I mean, why would people go out of their way to contact us to say, this isn't the first time this dog has happened? Anastasia, is there other people that you need to call, or somebody that's going?
I was just hoping to hear from Animal Control.
Okay, that's what we're going to ask if she could speak. So,
sure, yeah, and then
okay, that's okay with you as far at this point?
Yes.
Okay. So, the pet shelter director will identify herself and her address.
Laura.
Solemnly swear or affirm testimony.
I do. Laura Ariel, Vincent's Animal Control. Do you want my address?
No, that's
thanks.
Fine.
we were called out on the evening of that the bite occurred, and it was a serious bite. The police let me know. It took us, the police didn't call me for probably about 2 hours after they had the information. After that, it still took us about an hour to convince her to surrender the dog, bring it out to the shelter. She was concerned that the dog would hurt us, and they've actually been concerned every time. Not every time, but the first few visits, they've been concerned for my staff and surprised that we've been able to handle him. But this is what we're trained to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is what we do. We do deal with dogs that are dangerous. So I guess what questions do you have for me?
So what is your recommendation?
My recommendation is that the dog is a dangerous dog based on the statement that was given the night of the bite, based on the severity of the bite, and based on the circumstance that the bite happened. Unfortunately, we get about 12 to 15 bite cases a year, and not every dog that bites does have to be euthanized, but when it's a bite that's this severe. So when the bite is out of the owner's control, which in this circumstance, the dog was, from what was reported, the dog was tied to the railing on the porch, and the dog's leash broke, and the owner didn't have control of the animal. So for that, that's one thing, the owner not being in control. And that is one reason that I would consider the dog dangerous. As far as provoking goes, walking up to a dog, as far as I'm concerned, isn't a reason for provoking. For me, provoking would be yelling at a dog, stomping at a dog, things like that. And to be totally honest,
or attacking the person.
Or attacking, absolutely. But to be totally honest with you, we could consider our police dogs to be aggressive dogs. Mm-hmm. And those dogs will hurt you, but they won't do it unless they're commanded to do it. Those police officers have very much control over those dogs. Right. And we're responsible to have control over our dogs at all times. It's unfortunate when an incident occurs where they're not. Also, the nature of the bite was severe. You mentioned that it was through his pants. He did have to have sutures. Also, I watched the video as well, if you remember. He actually had to have surgery in the emergency room. So they had to call a surgical team down and have that wound closed surgically. Right. So, no, it wasn't life-threatening, but it was a very severe bite. And for me, when I have to be concerned about public safety, that's part of my job. The bite was right here on him. He's a little taller than me. My son stands to right here. So I'm not just concerned about little ones.
If that dog had inflicted the same bite on your son, it might have been a
absolutely.
Much,
yeah. And kids are way more, and dogs know that, kids are way more unpredictable than adults are. And, you know, had a kid been running around, why would a kid be running around at 11 o'clock at night? I don't know. Unfortunately, those are the kind of incidents that can happen. And, you know, we now have evidence that this dog is dangerous, as far as I'm concerned.
And you have tried to find rescues.
I did.
Dog, and your reply was?
I spoke with several different outlets for rescue. And there are a lot of pit bull advocates out there, as we are at the animal shelter. If you can recall, when I started, there was a short-term ban right before I got here, and I let you know that there weren't any concerns. It's not about the breed. Right. It's about that particular dog.
Right.
And every person that I talk to that is kind of a all for pit bulls and an advocate for pit bulls, they will go out and save a pit bull, but they won't save one that's got a severe bite case like this. Right. They just don't want the liability. The liability is too heavy. I did talk to a trainer, a local trainer who is certified. He's military certified. What he did in the military was train animals. He's certified to train police dogs. I don't know about the certification on this other person. I don't have a clue. But I spoke with him. He has not met the dog, as this person hasn't met the dog.
Right.
He only knows what the story that I've told him and the reports that I have. He believes that it would be a minimum of like a 5-month psychotherapy training, one-on-one with the dog, and it would cost about $12,000. That's certainly not anything that we can do. I mean, we are a no-kill shelter. No kill doesn't mean never kill. Our euthanasia rate last year was 3%, which is very low. But we save what we can save, but we don't want to put dangerous dogs into the community.
Right. Okay. Anastasia, do you have other questions you wanted to?
At the animal shelter, we are in a very controlled environment. We pretty much do things at pretty much the same time, all the time. He has a small space where he's controlled in, and he has done pretty well. There was an incident last week where we brought someone back to claim a dog. All of our dogs in that 5-day hold room where Malcolm is, they're all in stainless steel cages, so they can't get out, and they can't really see each other, so that they don't get aggravated. The gentleman saw his dog, which was on top of Malcolm's kennel, and looked directly at his dog, didn't look at Malcolm, didn't do anything, and Malcolm's like was gonna go after him. One of my employees witnessed it. He was barking and growling and showing his teeth, and she had no doubt that if he could have gotten through that door, he would have. That's not normal behavior. In my opinion, with the incidents that have been reported to us from previous and the nature that this incident occurred, it would not be safe to return him. And that the owner was standing right there, and that's really a concern. When a dog gets away from you, gets out of your yard and goes and bites someone in another yard, that's definitely irresponsibility. But when you're standing right there and that dog still does something like that while you're standing right there and you haven't asked him to do that behavior, that's a concern. That's a big concern.
You said you've been notified of other instances with him biting. Can you elaborate more on that?
Well, we were notified of other instances, and from what we understood, the people didn't want to report it because they were scared that the dog was going to get put down. So I'm thinking that maybe they lied and didn't tell that it happened, just like this young man tried to do in the initial report. That's my assumption. I love animals. I'm sure everyone loves animals. If someone gets bit by a dog and they plead with you, please, please don't tell, please, please, and you cry, it's very emotional. Everyone has a heart. No one wants to see a dog get killed. I would probably be willing to say, okay, fine, I won't say anything. It wasn't that big of a deal. I didn't lose a limb. Do I address her? It doesn't have anything to do with this.
Malcolm have ringworm?
No, Malcolm does not have ringworm. No.
But you mentioned the military training. Other than that, do you think there's any other possible rehabilitation that would be helpful?
I think that if Malcolm went into a serious rehabilitation, there aren't a lot of trainers that have that certification, that have the behavior behind them, then sure, maybe. But again, when I talked to him, about this, I said, can you guarantee me that this is never going to happen again? And he said, no, absolutely not. I can't guarantee you. Part of this is owner issue as well. So the owner has to follow the rules after this extensive training is done. And if the owners don't follow through, then yeah, this could happen all over again. So I couldn't get anyone to tell me, to guarantee me that this wouldn't happen again. And because we know that it has already happened and it has been severe, it's too much for me.
Courtney, that's the scary part.
Just to clear it up, the 10-day hold is Indiana state law. Whenever an animal bites another animal or a human, by law, because of rabies, the animal has to be quarantined for 10 days. There are some cases where, for an example, the attorney, her dog actually had a bite, and she... It was reported to me. We took care of it. This was not a dog problem, and this was not an owner problem. Mm-hmm. And this was something where I talked to her. I read through her what the quarantine was going to be like, mm-hmm. that she had to quarantine that dog for 10 days in her home, don't take it to work. And in those cases, it's good. She calls me to let me know that there was no aggression, that there was no rabies found. In other cases, we do quarantine the dogs at the shelter. It's kind of up to us. So that 10-day quarantine isn't really a 10-day assessment. It's a 10-day quarantine by Indiana state law. During those 10 days, we are able to kind of get an idea of how this dog is. We've been very careful with who handles the dog and when the dog is handled.
Sure.
And we have been very accommodating to the entire family, with letting them have, visits of up to 2 hours on some days where we have to have a staff member out with them. I don't know how else we could accommodate. Am I addressing her?
For the purposes of a hearing, probably you need to ask any questions.
No, your attorney. Sorry.
I guess her question is just about how do you determine when it's owner fault versus when it's dog fault?
Well, you can't really. I can't determine whether it's owner fault or whether it's dog fault. All I'm saying is that once a dog goes through a certain training, just like if you teach your dog how to sit, if you don't follow through with that training and work with that dog, it's not going to do that anymore. Right. So even if that dog goes through complete training, if the owner fails, then the dog is going to fail.
Okay, but I want him to succeed in the role, so I will
be
leaving. Okay.
And I'd like to say the family has been out, and they have been visiting with Malcolm. And we all know that you love this dog,
yeah.
And you've done well by this dog by standing up for him, by hiring an attorney, mm-hmm. and fighting for him, and I respect you for that, but my job is to make sure that the community stays safe, and that's where my ruling had, right. and then I bring it to them, but I have no doubt that you and your family love
him. Right. Thank you, Laura.
Whenever she said that whenever Anastasia's dog bit someone, she said it wasn't the dog's fault and it wasn't the owner's fault. Then
You know, are you getting what I'm saying? How is it when someone else's dog bites a kid in the face that it's not the person's fault, not the owner's fault, or not the dog's fault?
Would you like me to address that?
Are you referring to your dog?
Yeah, my
dog. And how bad was that bite?
It wasn't your.
Did it break the skin?
I believe
it broke the skin. Suture. Did it break the skin?
I think it was minimal.
Stitches on the face.
The child.
And we have the police report, hospital report on what John had it done.
Well,
he did not
Connie,
have
we're talking about your dog and this incident. Right. And
I just wanted to correct what she said about the surgery part and stuff like that. If I had his hospital.
And that is, to me, is just proof that she evaluates every situation,
right?
And won't just put every dog.
I saw pictures of the bite.
At somebody.
Yeah, he ripped away.
Yeah, right. Ripped flesh off this guy's leg. Through his pants.
With that kind of bite, anyone's going to rip away.
Yeah.
When somebody's got hold of
it. I mean, human nature to avoid a painful bite.
The real concern I've got with everything is you're saying you were scared the first time that it happened.
The second time that it happens,
mm-hmm. Are you going to be any less scared? And
I was able to handle the situation faster than the court. It's not that he got away from me.
The videos do not show that. Yes.
Lying about it, biting somebody and hiding it at your mother's or your grandmother's somewhere is what you said in the video. You said, nope, that dog's been at my...
I could not handle the situation like that, but whenever I was able to handle the situation for it not to...
All right.
We agree. She didn't handle it.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
That's the concern.
That's an irresponsible pet.
I'm saying that too.
Yeah. That's right.
And so all we're asking is that you give not only Malcolm a second chance, but her a second chance.
Yeah.
Let them try to do the rehab, let them try to do the training. You know, and if aggressive behaviors are still shown, then mm-hmm. we reassess.
Okay.
But
okay.
I've been there for longer.
All right. So.
But we can't afford the expense.
Sure.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Come back
up to the stand, please.
This is Laura Ariel with Animal Control again. One more last thing I want to clear. After we put Malcolm up that night, we did a bite report like we always do, and one of the questions that I ask the owner is if there have ever been a prior incident of a bite before, and she did say yes. And we do have that on video as well.
Okay.
So, I mean, I know we're...
So this isn't the only time this dog has bitten.
No, it's
not.
This was the only time, except that was when, in a playful manner, when she was a puppy. I was just frazzled. I didn't know what they wanted from me. I just said whatever.
Well, she said that the owners decided not to press charges.
Exactly.
So if it was a puppy bite, I would hesitate. I wouldn't think an owner would even consider something like that.
It wasn't about pressing charges. I just wanted to let you know that it wasn't a big deal.
Again, that's to me. That's just proof that this is not his first time biting.
Right.
Even though you came to my office and told me this dog had never bit before. And then you finally admitted, well, maybe when it was a puppet, it nipped at somebody. I've got emails from people saying that dog did bite somebody and maybe four other people.
Well, he's always with me, and so
that's
never occurred.
Okay.
I don't know that we can wait for the sixth person.
Right.
He said that out of frazzledness. Like, that never even mattered.
Okay. All right, Anastasia, do you have anything else that you want to add? Or? Okay.
If my friend didn't have a toothache, she would be here to let you know that her dog was doing the exact same thing.
Okay. Well, I hope not.
I hope not, because we were.
But thank you for taking your time and to go to these steps that you've taken to try to visit your dog and do everything you can in its best interest. So we appreciate your time.
Please give me another chance.
Okay. So.
I'm not going to let you.
Yeah.
We have somebody.
There's other people, but I don't know that
people get up and say,
right. I don't know that there's any other pertinent information that anybody's going to provide us. I mean, I know that there are people that care about this dog, that visited with this dog, and that, you know, we've seen those messages as well. So we understand that. We understand that. Oh, please. Okay, but you're not on record, and so I'm not going to acknowledge that remark. So, you know, all right, Anastasia, you don't have any other witnesses to call. Okay.
No, the only...
Right. Right.
And I do think the board has done an outstanding job as far as trying to find a rescue for this.
Right.
Dog.
Right.
If we had that option, that would be a different
right.
story. But
I just appreciate she even checked into it.
So trying to help me with that rescue stuff like that.
You're going to make the motion or going?
Laura.
Yeah. Go ahead. What else are we going to say?
She asked me a question.
What was the question?
What was the question?
My question was, since I feel like since she likes my dog, is that why she's trying to help me, like get a rescue and stuff like that? Because everyone else has said that he's been a joy. Even that community service boy back there, he said Malcolm is his favorite dog there. Mm-hmm. He's everyone that I've talked to said he's been doing great.
I am a huge animal lover. I love all dogs, but my job is not just to protect the animals in our community, but also to protect the people in our community. And I feel like this dog would be dangerous to the people in our community. And so it's not about me not loving your dog. If I was a rescue, there are so many dogs that are killed in rescues that have no bite history that rescues are trying to save, and that they do try, and those dogs still don't end up getting saved. This is not a dog that any rescue is willing to take. Now, if we had 6 years to try to find a rescue for somebody, you know, a sanctuary, and I'm not speaking by an exact date, if we just don't have, it's not fair to the dog to take
right.
that much time.
Right.
You know, I think there is a sanctuary in California called Animal Farm, and they take animals that can't be around people, but the waiting list for that is something like 4 to 6 years or something. So these kind of things, these happy stories that we hear, they're not the common, unfortunately.
Okay.
I wish it were.
Right. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, with that said, I'm going to say that...
Can I ask you one more thing? If the dog was dangerous, they wouldn't even be able to get him out of the cage if he wasn't good around people in general.
We've heard her opinion about what her recommendation is. We've heard everything that you really needed to say, and we're represented by your attorney, so we understand your position.
I know, but
Mr. Burns,
also not there as much as the other workers are that handle him and that really like him.
We trust our animal director and her staff.
Right. I'm going to make a motion to...
If he was such a danger, why would she get a pet rescue
Courtney,
to look in?
I'm going to make a motion to accept the recommendation of being deemed a dangerous animal.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 All right, Courtney.
All
right. Steve, you...
Miscellaneous. Nothing under miscellaneous. The motion to adjourn.
So
we are adjourned.